You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I remember walking round the court square sidewalks, looking in the windows, things I couldn't want. There's Johnson's Hardware and Morgan's Jewelry and the Ole King's Apothecary. They were the little man, the little man. I go back now, the stores are empty, except an old coat sign dated 1950. Poured it up like they never existed, renovated and called historic business. There goes the little man, there goes the little man. Now the court square's just a set of streets, and people go around and they seldom think about the little man that built this town before the big money shut him down and killed the little man.
A. Jackson,
oh, little man,
complete with cut-up jeans. My mom taught me how to use a jar with a screw-on lid. Add the flour and some of the drippings. Allow room to shake the jar vigorously. Join me is the man who would be king. Okay, the man who has no peers in his own mind. Originally from California, then to Minnesota, now the governor of the state of Texas, Mike Musselman.
You forgot all the places in between.
What is up, Governor Musselman?
Grand Poobah of Iraq.
Of everywhere.
The district commissioner of Afghanistan.
The head of Fred Flintstone's Moose Lodge.
Yeah, there's a many, many titles.
Many, many titles. But this one is his. The how's your Friday going, man? What are you doing?
Drinking coffee.
Oh, you love to drink coffee. One of your favorites.
No, my computer just updated.
What?
Well, because it's a Mac, so it goes through these like Mojave or Sahara. You know, these they call the new updates to iOS.
Right.
So I'm in like this new one called Mojave or something. And it's starting to be a pain in the ass because it's not working the way it should.
Well, you know what happens when, like, for instance, for Microsoft, when they do their software updates, or you might have one of your software programs itself update, it sometimes switches audio settings. And so, like, I'll come in the morning, you know, you see this updated, okay, blah, blah. And then you go to turn on and talk, cricket. And you're like, God damn it.
Yeah.
And then you're like scrambling like a jackass.
Right.
I hate that. I hate surprises. Because then you're running around doing the asshole dance, and I don't like that. Hold on. Let me finish an email. Flour and gravy. We're having a discussion about flour and gravy or Wondra and gravy. And email. My mom taught me to use a jar with screw-on lids, add the flour and some of the drippings, allow room to shake inside the jar, so it's got you don't fill it all the way up. Shake the jar vigorously to eliminate all the lumps. Pour and store into a pot of gravy. Just a tip. There you have it. Gravy tip. Do you to thicken gravy, Wondra or flour? When you thicken Thanksgiving gravy, turkey gravy, do you use Wondra or flour?
Flour.
All right. There you have it.
It is simple. I mean, I don't make it very you make the roux, right?
Right.
And then from there, you start adding, you know, beef broth or chicken broth. If you're turkey, don't do beef broth.
Yeah. Come on, bro. What are we, communists now?
Yeah. But, yeah, so that's what I do. And then I add seasoning to it, and then I bring it to a boil, let it evaporate, thicken by itself. And it's freaking ridiculous how good it is.
It is the meal, right? Turkey, Thanksgiving dinner's almost impossible. cooking a turkey, not very difficult, right?
They got buttons now that pop when it's done.
Right.
So just
mashed potatoes, peas, all that easy, easy, easy. The whole meal centers around the gravy. And it makes
it the mashed potatoes?
No, what? Tell me.
Do real mashed potatoes, and I like the reds, the new potatoes. Throw a couple Yukons in there. The Yukon Golds, maybe a russet. Try and change it up so you get that different flavors. But I always add because I thin it out. And then I add dry potatoes.
What do you mean dry potatoes?
Box mashed potatoes.
What?
To thicken it back up. Oh, dude. That's the secret. Because, dried mashed potatoes are just potatoes.
What kind of ghetto
shit
is that?
It's not like synthetic, made from nylon or something.
Okay. So wait a minute. So let's talk brand name. So what do you buy? What kind of dried potatoes do you buy? What is it?
It comes in a brown box. Idaho something majuggers. I don't know what it's called. Idaho. What's the thing called? Idaho something.
And what are they called? Dried potatoes?
Yeah, or dried mashed potatoes. I get the. It's called. Drum roll. Here it is.
Idahoan.
Idahoan.
Buttery homestyle. You got buttery homestyle? You got buttery homestyle or regular?
Regular. Just regular.
Wow. Regular is $1.89 at Target. Buttery homestyle is $9.95 in a box.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, so I just use that as my. I go real thin.
That's
and then
thickening.
I add that to thicken it back.
Why do you go so thin?
So it mixes better, so I get all of those flavors in there.
Got it.
If it's too thick, the flavors don't congeal like they normally
listen
do.
To that. Wow.
So I thin it out, so it's like not like batter. Well, it's like loose batter.
Okay,
and
I'm
then
with
I
you.
Add it.
No, it's pretty liquefied mashed potatoes.
Yeah, and then I add that back in to thicken it back up, and then man, you get the. Oh my gosh, what did you do to these mashed potatoes? Because there's real mashed potatoes in there. You can taste it,
right.
The different variations. But then it's like that, what is this?
So,
I can't tell you. It's a secret recipe.
I've only done mashed potatoes with, with single-source potatoes.
No, I like changing it up.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm going to try that.
Usually I use russets.
See if it tastes any different.
I use 50%. Of my is russet, 25% new potatoes, red potatoes, wherever you're from, they're called news or reds. and then I use like 25% of the Yukon Golds. The Yukon Golds taste like they taste different. They got this different flavor to them, but I like combining them.
All right. Well, it's interesting. It's interesting. Now, I just had the chef on, and he said, a lot of people, want to do, there's so much different food stuff on shows, and people want to experiment on Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. He said that, look, everybody expects certain tastes in their mouths on Thanksgiving Day, that if you're going to experiment, do that in addition to the meal. So if you want to smoke a turkey.
Don't screw it up. Yeah.
No, you don't want to be that guy. Is that how you are, or do you experiment with the core meal?
No, I don't experiment.
Yeah.
I'm
like that.
I'm
good at. I'm old fashioned.
I want to start a new way to cook turkey, though.
Like what?
So, you got smoked turkey, you got deep fried turkey,
right.
You got
baked,
just the regular kind. You got every barbecue turkey, right?
Right. What are you going to do?
I'm going to start one called electrocuted turkey. So you take.
Yeah,
you ground it and then take two, put it, get it all wet, and then just take two negative and positive and just shock it and cook it that way. Cook the meat, like sear it, blacken that meat, darken that meat like electricity, like rubber, and electricity, that rubbery burning smell. Yeah, that's what I want
to
start.
You need to find something to do with all your free time, man. I think you're losing it. All right. You were.
And I want to start electrifying. It's called electrifying cooking. Electrify your carrots, your celery, because it's fat free. There's no oil. Electricity's cheap. You know, the ones that don't pay attention will off themselves. Good to go. It'll work out.
Yeah, I'm not endorsing that. Okay.
Once you see it, it's too late. Now you're going to miss the boat. You're going to be, damn. I wish
I could have been on the cutting edge of that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Here's another cooking question.
We got to get into guns.
I know. Today's supposed to be gun talk. Mac, would Gunner walk through the dishes he serves in his Thanksgiving meal? Yeah.
Ham, spiral ham, honey ham.
Okay.
Honey, you know, turkey.
Okay.
Mashed potatoes.
Okay.
Oyster gravy or oyster stuffing.
Okay. Oyster stuffing. Got it.
Gravy.
Got it.
Both light and dark.
Ooh.
Yeah.
We'll have to talk about that.
Yeah. The light and dark.
Okay.
And then cranberry sauce. I like cream corn.
I love cream corn.
Yeah. I love cream corn.
My mom used to make it. We had it as a kid growing up. You don't see too many people serve it, though.
No. Cream corn is...
It's an art.
Been falling out of favor with a lot of people.
It's a dying dish.
Yeah. Cream corn. And, you know, with cream corn, you can make... it's a cornbread casserole. So freaking good. That's a different story.
That sounds like an upper Midwest dish.
It's just like a... It's almost like shepherd's pie, but instead of using mashed potatoes on top, you pour on the batter of cream corn, cornbread, and then bake it. So you get the potatoes, you get the gravy, you get the meat underneath, and then that cream corn, crusty cornbread on top. Oh.
To die for,
yeah. You could probably add that in Thanksgiving.
All right.
Thanksgiving's all about, you know, and then I'm.
What else?
You know, then that's where I stop. I don't do like the little frickin' onions and the white cream sauce. Oh, God, those things are horrible.
All right.
And I'm not a big green bean casserole person.
That's on a lot of tables, though.
That's a Midwest thing.
That is a Midwest thing. Yeah, you can't
with the dried onion rings on top.
You can't go get a meal without that in the Midwest.
I used to grandma would pass that to me and I'd be like fake scooping as I'm talking, like, oh, and then there's like an empty cavity and I'd scoop into that empty cavity and then put it on my plate with the casserole dish blocking the way. So she sees the motion, you know, she sees everything taking place. Here's the tapping on the plate, like, and I'm talking, oh yeah, this is great. And then as I pass it, my left arm comes around to block the view.
Why would you deceive your grandmother who loved you so much?
I was young, stupid.
All right.
Wasn't thinking it through.
I respect that. What about, so let's go back to the light and dark gravy. What's the difference?
What's the difference between one's light and one's dark? What do you mean the difference?
Well, explain to me what the seasoning you put in the dark gravy.
The dark gravy, usually I use I'll put in some Worcestershire sauce. The dark gravy's usually got the mushrooms in it, you know, the sauteed mushrooms, and I throw that in there. So it's like a mushroom gravy.
Okay.
Whereas the light gravy is more like the meat gravy. It's from the drippings.
Got it. All right. That makes it Worcestershire. Wow.
Worcestershire makes everything good.
What is your? Will you consume both of them on the same plate, or do you do like the Berlin Wall? If I'm having this, I can't have this because you can't mix those two tastes.
Oh no, I was always a big fan. I mean, when I was little, I think it was my dad that always said, you know, like it all ends up in the same place. So. And that's the way I've always believed it.
My oldest will, like, smushes stuff together. And you look at him like, dude, what are you doing? You're not three. It's the way I like. It's the way I like it. And you're, yeah, that's one of his lines. It all goes. It all winds up in a shut up with that shit. Okay. Right.
Well, then you know what you do for him. Right. Then you take his plate and you go to a blender and you put it all in there and go, here you go, drink.
Yeah, you could function with a broken jaw. Because yeah. This is how it works.
Thanksgiving meal in a shake.
Exactly. Exactly.
That actually sounds good too.
Yeah, there's nothing better though than Thanksgiving. It's my favorite meal of the year, and the smell, right, that gets you worked up. You smell that turkey
ham.
In the house.
Ham. I like ham better than turkey. So.
You're an idiot. Okay. All right. Let's talk guns then. You're stupid. All right. We're on to gun talk now.
It's good.
Way to ruin a perfectly good conversation about food. Okay.
So what I'm going to talk to you about is I recently. So I have two of my Glocks have open sights on the back rail, right?
Got it.
One I sent away to Zev, Zev, and they're a Glock aftermarket guys, and they machined into the metal of the slide a mount for my Glock. And so, that's cool, but...
Okay, hold on. So, people that are listening, right, so they can know what you're talking about in terms of what you had on there. So, they would do a search on what? Glock open sight? And so...
Yeah,
and that's just a base sight that's on the gun, yes?
You can do, like, Glocks.
So, they can see what you're talking about. Okay. All right. So I'm looking at the open sight, right, on a Glock. So this one is kind of like got a little bit of a kind of low V on it and a looks like a little glow in the dark piece of shit on the back of it. Okay. So that's what we're talking. That's what this one looks like anyway. So that's generically what you're talking about. All right. And then what's the name of this company that you
Zev.
Z-E-V. What did you say the first time? Z-E-V.
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 Zev Technologies or something like that.
All right. So, Zev Technologies. They have some shit going on, man. So
yeah, that's what my guns look like. They look... They got the slides that are all
crazy and shit.
Crazy and shit. Yeah,
that's awesome. The all right. So and
well,
then,
it is. I mean, you pay the frickin' price. It better be awesome.
Yeah, no kidding. All right. So then what? So you go and you have them and they machine
send your gun away. Yeah, and they machine it.
All right. So I'm looking at it. What are they machining into the slide?
The mounting bracket.
And
so where the actual sight's going to mount, screw into the slot.
Okay, and then what kind of sight are you putting on this contraption now?
Well, then I have two. I tried out it's the Leupold Red Dot. That I think it's called the Dot Pro Dot or Leupold. It's just the Leupold Red Dot. Okay. I did that one on one. Delta Point Pro, that's what it's called. The Leupold Delta Point Pro.
Whoa. Delta Point Pro scope.
Well, it's not a scope.
That's what it says. Leupold Pro scope.
It's just an optic. It's just a little.
All right. Yeah, check that one out. Just
Delta Point
Pro, and it'll pop right up.
Yeah, but it's the one for a pistol, though, right?
Got it.
Yeah, not the other one, not the... Okay, right, so right, I right. have that on one gun.
Okay.
And then I have an RMR Type 2.
How do you spell it?
RMR.
RMR Type, T-Y-P-E, 2.
Yeah. So the RMR is made by Trijicon. That's the Ruggedized Miniature Reflex. They always call it acronyms. It's military.
Pistol. They have to. They'd
yeah.
Yeah, they'd fall apart if they They look like the same kind of site, though.
Yeah, they're very they're different in the aspect that the RMR is.
You got into a discussion with Montana Man about sites. He wanted to buy what?
He wanted to buy like a Bushnell or something like that, or
and you were not a fan.
No, and I told him in that either a Night Force Vortex, Leopold, you know, and if you want to spend some money, get a Schmidt and Bender.
Is that top of the line, Schmidt and Bender?
Yeah, that's the PM2 is. Schmidt and Bender PM2 5x25 is like the in my opinion probably one of the best sites out there.
Is that going to go on the Meteorite milled 45?
No, the PM2 is a long range sight.
I know, but is that when you get the 45s that were milled out of the Meteor? Is that the sight that's going to go on that pistol?
No, I'm not going to change. I'm not putting any sights. Pistols, the Meteor pistols. Yeah. No,
you'll just keep those as they are.
Yeah.
All right. So talk to me about the differences between the two sites.
So what I found out is that RMR from Leopold is a lot better. It's not as fragile.
Well, then why are you getting one from Leopold then?
I had that one first.
Oh, okay, got it. So as people are looking at these sites. I'm looking at the product. What does it look like when you look through it?
You're looking through and you just see a dot where you would see your front sight post. You see a red glowing dot out there in the middle of the universe. Super fast, super accurate. The con is, okay, so let me go back.
Okay.
So the problem with that setup was, you know, it's $500 to get your sight, your slide milled out.
Right.
You know, $500 for your red dot sight. And now if you want backup front sight and rear sight, you're talking another $200. So, I mean, you're now into it minus the cost of the gun, you're $1,200. You know? So if it's a $700 Glock, you're now pushing $2,000 into your pistol. So
so here's my question. Is it worth it?
One of the solutions to that is what I found through a friend of mine who started a company.
Yeah.
And what he does is he builds the mount that actually just goes into the beaver tail slot of the rear sight. So it's just like replacing a rear sight.
So it's like an adapter.
Yeah.
You like that.
So, yeah, he goes, and if you look on my page right now, you'll see his site, and that's what I just put on with my RMR.
Ah, so you skip the milling.
See, no milling.
Right.
It goes right on the site. So it's pretty freaking cool as far as like what, no gunsmithing, nothing. And it comes with the rear sights and the front sight already attached to the mount.
Ooh.
So you don't have to pay for that.
Ooh.
Yeah. So it's a win-win.
How did you meet this guy? Did you just call him up and talk?
We were Marines together.
Okay.
And then, he still does. He works for Surefire. He's the president of their suppressor division. So I've worked with them, you know, when I was in the Marine Corps.
Right.
The Marine Corps used Surefire cans on our 7.62 sniper rifles. So he's been a friend of the family for a long time. So he just started this company not too long ago, but his sights are freaking pretty cool. I mean, it alleviates that whole big cost of you're not buying. So, like, if you look at this picture I just set up, you see where the mount is actually just into the rear sight, beaver tail. And then you screw in your RMR on top of that plate. So with the rear sights there, the front sight post is there. It's pretty nice. Pretty nice.
You know, I love that. You know, bring in, you know, because this is the way technology works, right? Years ago, to get a GPS, right, you paid out the ass. And then slowly but surely, people figured it out. The technology became more common. You know, people like this found ways to bring it to Main Street in a more cost-effective way. And then all of a sudden, every pistol can have it. And it doesn't set you back an arm and a leg to do it. And I love that kind of stuff. I love that kind of stuff.
So those that want to, here's the other.
Whoa.
If you're listening, you can write it down. This is the next gift that you can get me for Christmas. It's the 5x25. 56 millimeter objective, PM2. This is the long range MTC, and it is nice.
MTC, tell everybody what that means.
It's the all the elevation and windage turrets feature the locking. Trying to put it in layman's terms. They feature the readouts and the locking turnouts and the big hats.
We like those.
But I wanted in,
wait a minute. And so is that a pistol sight?
No, that's a rifle.
I was gonna say. All right.
We're off the sight.
How did we like mix genders here?
We're going back.
All right. Well, you gotta say that kind of shit.
So there's some pictures.
Have you never done TMI? Right?
Right.
All right. All right. So, what's the biggest, in terms of the site itself? Show me a picture of what it looks like looking through the site. Like, I see a lot of side angles. It looks really cool, right? What am I looking through, and why is it better?
Looking through.
You spelled through, right? That's amazing.
Oh. I didn't get rid of the other stuff. That goes. It's there. It is.
Ooh.
Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Okay. This is a minute video.
This is awesome. Gunn is sharing a screen with me. Can we get through the commercial, please?
Yeah. I know. All right. Here we go.
I hate those things. Unmute it.
It is on me. Okay, there we go. See the dot? See the sight, the rear sight? That's a good view. Rear sight, front sight, still aligned.
Yeah.
But see how the dot?
Ooh.
Pretty easy to pick up, man.
It is.
And you can adjust the brightness of that.
Bam.
See how small that is?
Yeah. All right, so pause it and describe it for people listening out here.
It's just like a dot.
Okay,
that
so
you, glows.
Yeah, so you have the frame, okay, and then you're looking right through. There's a different
a little window.
Yeah, and the window's a different pigmentation. So in the picture that Mike's showing me, it's got a white door. The pigmentation of the screen is pink. Can you adjust that, or is it always pink, or what? Can it be green?
I don't know why his is pink. Mine's kind of like an amber. It's like a yellowish.
Got it. And then there is where does the dot come from?
The dot's a projection, like a HUD.
It looks
the
like
dot's it, coming from it, the bottom
okay.
and being projected onto that screen like a HUD, like at an angle.
Right. It looks like somebody's lasing the target. Yeah, so that's the floating dot you
right.
see. And then all you're doing is placing that floating dot that appears in the viewfinder on the target.
On where you want it and pull the trigger. So you don't notice you notice here the dots are kind of not centered.
Right.
It doesn't matter because all you got to do is put the dot. The dot is where the bullet's going to strike. You don't have to get it centered. You just got to put the dot wherever you want to hit. Doesn't have to be perfectly centered, right?
Right.
It's like looking through an EOTech. You don't have to, if you look at an angle, as long as you can see the little dot down there, you know, it's a single plane, so it's you, that in the target, not like it's a, like most hunting scopes, a second, it's two planes. So it's, two focal planes. So it's, you're seeing an image off of a plate who's being projected back onto, you know, so it's kind of bouncing around in that tube. It doesn't work the same way in a first focal plane. It's just right through.
You know, Mike, do you remember, when you got to LAR, did they have the whole, in the gun sight, did they have just like the radio lines, kind of like
they had the ballistic drop radio lines.
Right. And let me just tell you, obviously we've got more advanced since then, but I will tell you this. It was the most accurate system that I ever shot in the Marine Corps because the probability of hit with your second burst was 100%. So you had this kind of, you had this grid system in the sight. You would shoot, and if you missed, all you had to do was take the point where it hit in, you know, in this kind of spreadsheet that, that you had up on your, in, on the sight. You put that on the target, 100% of the time. It was easy, and I don't, this kind of, it makes pistol shooting a little bit easier.
Oh, yeah.
Yes or no?
This guy's crazy.
This is. You can tell by the beard, man. You see the beard, you know that this guy's, he's got the sleeve.
He carries a man purse like that.
Yeah, like, but he's a, he's driving around looking for people that are going into, you know, IHOPs, looking weird. He's driving.
And he's like a former Marine truck driver. So now all of a sudden he's this weapons expert.
God bless him, man.
This guy's crazy, man.
He is. He's got the watch. Oh, he's got the I Was There bracelet, huh?
Yeah.
What do they call that?
That's a I never got one of those.
That's a Vietnam thing.
I feel so bad I never got one of those.
You know who the first time I ever saw that? In 1971, my dad was a coach for the Giants. And the Giants had an outfielder. He was just coming up out of the minor leagues by the name of Gary Maddox. He went on to play for the Phillies forever. He was really good. He was a good baseball player. His name was Gary Maddox, and he could run. He's good. Anyway, he was a Vietnam veteran, and he had one of those bracelets. And I remember seeing it on his wrist. And he never took it.
Yeah.
It was one of those 550 cord bracelets. And I wondered, I didn't know what it was. I remember the first time I saw what, you know, it was a Vietnam thing. I was like, oh, that would make sense. But he's a cool guy. He's a cool guy and wore one of those. All right. So when you do it the way with the adapter, how much is that going to set you back in terms of?
The adapter's $160, $140.
So now we're talking less than $500 to put that kind of sight on.
Yep.
Whoa.
You're dropping the price in half.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah. That's awesome advice. When you can give like upgrade firearms and save money.
And get to the same place.
Right.
You're not sacrificing anything.
That's why you listen to this shit, okay? You have to endure the rest of our like craziness to get to this.
Okay. Your craziness, I'm saying.
Exactly. How do you know he's crazy? How do you know he's crazy?
No,
because he says he's saying. All right, hold on. A couple of emails. Do you think an average shooter could put this on a pistol and improve their shooting? Or is this something that is for a more refined shooter?
That was going into my pros and cons.
Oh.
So the pros and cons are, the pros are, it's a much faster, much intuitive shooting than trying to line the sights, right? And I always try and, like, cause even though people, I press to them, don't worry about rear sight, front sight post. As soon as you see a front sight post over your target, press the trigger. Okay? And then when you want to take those slow, methodical shots for longer ranges and you got time, then that's where you get in your sight picture, your rear sight, even and evenly spaced with your front sight. The nice thing about a dot is it's quick, it's fast, and it's accurate to every distance. So, but the problem with the dot is it's your grip and your presentation and your stance has got to be good. You can't be sloppy, because when you're presenting that gun and you're pushing that gun out into your sight space to look for that sight, if you're not doing it correctly, you're going to be too low, too high, too left, too right. Now you're going to be looking for that dot. Your head is going to be bobbing. The gun's going to be moving around until you see the dot. So it's going to force you. And what I tell people is, when you get this, is it going to make the average shooter better? Absolutely. Because it's going to force you to do things correctly. And it's a positive reinforcement that when you do something correctly, you get the reward. Here's your treat. And your treat is you get well-aimed, quick shots off. So, because like I said, as soon as you see that dot over where you want the bullet to go, press the trigger.
Well, let me ask you this, Mike. Do you think improving your shooting, this is a solid investment because it gives you the kind of feedback, right?
So, yeah, absolutely.
So you know that you are on target, right? And then when the round doesn't strike the target, right, you know that there's something in, right?
Well, it's a visual indicator. When that round breaks, right?
Right.
So you hear the round, bam, it breaks. Where was that dot on the break?
Right.
So you can mentally, and you'll see it. You'll see it. Bang, oh, shit, that dot was on the top of the target. Right. And you go down there, and there's the bullet, top of the target.
Right.
The problem with a lot of young shooters is when they see their front sight post and their rear sight, and they're trying to do that, like, and then it goes off. It's hard to judge, like, when we say call your shot, where do you think it went?
Right.
That's what makes you better, is when you can honestly go, oh, you know what? I pulled that, or I jerked that, or I rushed that, you know,
To me, the other thing, Mike, is that sometimes when, the focus of your eye, you know, flashes back and forth between target, right, and then your own sight picture, right? This, you're totally, correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm not a gun guy, but you're totally focused on the target.
Right. Exactly. The dot forces you to be totally focused on the target, and it forces you to keep both eyes open, which you're maintaining situational awareness.
Right.
You know, so now you're not going to that. It forces you to do all of those positive reinforcement techniques.
I like that. Techniques. That's a TMI.
Yeah,
that means what I just said was significant.
You have to keep pushing yourself to get better. This is one way to get better. It really is.
Yeah, I think that for a lot
it
of
looks cool as hell.
I want to see what this search yields back. For a lot of shooters, right? They don't shoot enough, right, to be high level. What this does, whatever practice that it makes that you're going to do, I think it refines your level of practice because of the feedback you get and because of where you have to focus. And I would tell you this, and again, I'm not nearly the kind of shooter that Mike is. For people like me, it would make you, within very, very short order, a much, much, much better shooter simply because of the feedback that you get and what it forces you to focus on. Game changer.
Yep.
I'm not bullshitting about that. If you look at this, and if you go look at a movie, the video Mike showed, and you look at the dot, you'll see immediately. You are no longer focusing on your sight picture. Your sight picture is going to be a function of the readout, and you're focused on the dot. Very cool.
It's really nice.
Wow.
This is where I get ideas to make or to
modify
my guns.
What is that?
That's actually a gun. They just do it as a joke. There's a Glock right in the middle there.
There's a Glock. What's on the bayonet?
This is actually a nice Glock. I like that Glock.
Why? What do you like about it?
I just like the tooling on it. It kind of gives it. Well, the one up here, this
What's with the gold barrel? What's that about? Is that like, is that something somebody stole?
Flash.
Somebody
yeah, flash.
Stole from Saddam?
No, it's just the flash.
I got
kind of the look. This is that new one that came out. They call it Thor's hammer.
My God, it's a Glock product. They call that Glock. No, it doesn't do
that's
that.
That's a completely aftermarket Glock.
Got
that's
it.
All redone.
All right.
You can, you know, this one is all blued out. This is what mine looks like right here, exactly, except for I don't have the big long threaded barrel, but that's a Glock 19X, the brand new 19Xs.
Do you have the Surefire?
Yeah, the light, everything.
Where do you have, and then there's holster rigs that support that?
Yep. Safari Land. I always go with Safari Land. They've never let me down. So if you go to Safari Land, they are the best. Whoa. when it comes to the holsters, and I mean they cover everything.
Ooh. Yeah, exactly. I thought that was a dude at first.
I know. So Safari Land, find the perfect gun holster. So you go here and you say, okay, I want a pistol, and then manufacturer, I want Glock, and then the model, 19X, barrel length, yes, 9mm, yes. Do you have a light mounted on yours? Yes. Light type, Surefire X300. Do you have an optic on your firearm? Yes. see results. Send. And it gives me, here's some holsters options.
Here's an email for you. Mac, I'm heading back to the Middle East. Haven't been there in a few years. Most of my time is spent inside the wire. I don't like to drop holsters that they issue. Gunner have a recommendation for something I could carry
on
my belt for my government issued firearm.
Which is?
Doesn't say.
It's either the SIG or the Beretta, and it's probably the Beretta.
Okay, so.
But let's go the 92F. That's the one we shoot. No light, no optic, run of the mill. Yes, got it. So this is actually, they make one that's called the ALS system, and you can interchange it, or the SLS. So these are drops.
Right.
So that's the one I'm looking for.
So it's
here it is. Here's the ALS military kit.
Whoa.
So the military kit allows you to, if you look, this goes onto your waistband. This is the shoulder rig. This is a clip inside. So the mags, the actual holster clips in and out of the system, allowing you to change it up to however you want it.
This is actually pretty cool. So, okay. So if you go to Safari Land, okay. And then you go to, what's the name of this rig, Mike?
This is called the military, the 7TS ALS military kit.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool. Because all the different things that you've seen people, you know, the different rigs they've had from, you know, people tend to have a different drop holster. And then I know the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff liked that, that leather rig that went over both shoulders, right? And had the holster down under your armpit.
Right.
He wore that. A lot of guys wore that. But this has all those, all that.
Right.
That,
it gives you the option to change it however you need it. And so if you're looking at the video, Mac, this.
And hold on.
It actually has the duckbill.
Explain that.
And that clips into your belt.
Okay.
Right? So you can just move that around.
And that's what the question actually is talking about is the duckbill thing that would go onto your belt and essentially under your blouse when you're inside the wire. Which is a much more way of wearing the weapon.
Right.
Wow, very cool.
And then he's got that shoulder rig. I didn't wear that. Mine was a drop. It had an extender like this, but it was just a rigid extender, so I didn't have to have it wrap around my thigh.
Right, which drives people crazy.
But that ALS is a good system.
This one, the drop is one of my favorites. Yeah, the drop is even adjustable, so you could wear it high thigh or low thigh. But again, you take the duck bell off, you slip it. Wow, that's pretty cool. Pretty cool.
That's a good system.
All in one. How many reviews, Mike?
7 reviews, and it's still got a 5-star. Awesome holster, versatile. Holster setup is just the best. Extremely versatile and adapted. So it goes on. Yeah.
Well, there you have it. Yeah, that's a good call.
That's one of the better, if you're in the military. The other one is, that's all police, popo. That's the popo.
General Kelly used to wear the green issued one. Everybody had all these cool rigs on, and he would roll around. He used to call it Roscoe. Me and Ross go rolling large.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my god!
So Safari Land, because if you go into, products, and you want to go to holsters, it'll tell you right here. Let's go to Cowboy Western Holsters. This is all Safari Land products.
Do you own a cowboy gun, right? Don't you?
Yeah, I got a .44. Ball, cap and ball.
Do you own a holster for it? Do you do any shooting with it?
No. I got it mounted on the wall.
Yeah, okay.
But here's some, they got a ton of stuff in here. Competition holsters, they got some really nice competition holsters. Look at that holster.
Where's the holster, man? You can't even see
it.
It's
right here. I mean, I used to shoot with one.
I lost it, and the guy was wearing blueberry camouflage. It was confusing.
That's a fast holster.
There is no holster. It's just something holding the weapon.
It's like a rack. It's like a gun rack for your gun. Yeah, but it snaps in there. It ain't going anywhere. That's the cool thing about it.
But it's not like there's how does it release?
You see that little button right here where I'm like moving the cursor?
Right, you rotate it.
So when you come in and grab the gun, you just flip that button and it unlocks it.
Because when the guy, first of all, so there's nothing forward of the pistol, right, in this rig. Okay, so
no,
he pulls
see
it.
See, watch his finger. Watch his finger. He's back. Whoa. And then he goes back in, you'll see him lock it. See? Boom.
Yeah. And so because there's nothing forward of the holster, and it's somehow they're locked in there. He releases it. He comes straight forward with the weapon, not up and forward. Interesting. Wow.
It's fast. That's a fast holster. For $200 holster, that's got to be fast.
If he ever Paul Soldier wrote an article that is really, it's brutal, man. There was an Article 32 hearing for a Navy SEAL chief yesterday in San Diego. Soldier wrote an article, and holy shit, man. If that's what they wheeled out in the Article 32 hearing, I mean, I can't imagine what the story that they're going to tell in the actual court-martial, because it is a 15-year-old ISIS kid. They yoke him up. He's wounded. Doc's taking care of him, and this guy stabs him and kills him while the doc is administering to him. And then he re-enlists holding, you know, the kid's head.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. In,
no.
Was, yeah. Yeah. Read it. Soldier wrote it. Read it. It's horrible.
Holy shit.
Exactly. Exactly.
We've gone off the rails, man.
Well, we've talked about it, and it seems to be one community, I mean, you know, that has the majority of these kind of problems. You don't read about these things relative to Delta Force. And now MARSOC is implicated in what went on in Mali. So
yeah, I looked that up. I can't find anything that actually
talks about them.
I can't find anything that says that that's true.
Right. Oh, other than that report that says that they've been indicted. Yeah. Again, there was no mention in any of the other articles that I've seen.
So I think it's a mistaken identity.
We'll see.
Reporters not knowing what the hell they're talking
about. Well, I mean, but, you know, they could be charged, you know, because either they're not talking or whatnot in an effort to, you know, put the screws to them. That, you know, when you sue, when you charge broadly, you sue broadly, and then you sort it out at a different date. So yeah, but I think this stuff's been going long enough, and, you know, we've ridden our special ops, you know, hard, which means they don't get the supervision they need, and when you don't get the supervision you need, and the gifted start doing crazy things. And you know, one of the other charges is that a commissioned officer covered this up, knew about it?
Well, more importantly, the other thing to remember is our special forces groups, when the war kicked off, that the aperture opened up, you know, because before then it was very hard to get in there, because you went through a huge scrutiny of different levels of being washed out. But they needed so many operators, that aperture opened up. So some of these guys that got through probably should have never been there. They were the wrong people. And now that they've been in this community, that's what they're still kind of suffering from. You know, it was an old buddy of mine. He's a SEAL. He was a senior chief. He got out. Just before the war got out. And, you know, like he said, you know, he was an instructor down there at Buds and everything. He said the same thing. He goes, man, he said this like in 2004, 2005. He's like, man, the SEALs aren't going to suffer now, but mark my words, you know, 10 years from now, they're going to have problems because we let in people that shouldn't have been SEALs because we just needed bodies. You know, now we got a bunch of immature, and that's what, you know, people were doing it for the wrong reason. And so what happened?
Yeah, this guy's a chief. And again, and Mike and I have talked about this kind of stuff before. When you see that, if you start going in there and you start flipping over rocks, and we talked about this relative to just our experiences in the Marine Corps. When you see something happen, it ain't the first time they've done it. Trust me. You start going down that trail, and you're going to find a whole series of things that either didn't get reported, got reported as one thing, but were really something else. And it's just, it's not.
I remember in our little world, when you'd walk in, you know, after we lost a guy or something, the first thing you'd say is, did he do X? And you know he didn't. And you know you're going to be perceived as a fucking, now you're an ass for asking this from a dead guy. But, you know, you need to know, hey, did you sweep the compound before we went in? And the answer you get is, no, sir, we were here yesterday and then we left last night so that it was secure when we came back this morning. It was secured how? Well, we slept last night. Okay, and then when'd you leave? 11:30 last night. So from 11:30 until 07 this morning, who was looking at the facility, the compound? So no one came in here. How do you know? Obviously somebody did and planted a freaking IED at the doorway. You know, because John Doe's dead. He's right there. He's dead.
But, you know, Mike, as you said, to link this to a couple minutes ago, that's the function of adults. Right, it's not easy work.
But once you start asking those questions, Mac, you know where it's gonna go.
Right, they hate.
Gotta be willing to take the journey.
But, that's why we need mature people there. That's why we need grown-ups there. And when you don't have those people, and in fact you have the opposite, you have weak leaders that cover this shit up. That's when really bad shit happens. And the sad part is that these guys will pay for it for the rest of their lives. Whether they're caught or not, at some point after all the bravado falls away and you're left by yourself and you have to come to grips with the things you did or didn't do, and you think about those things, the gratuitous killing that you did because somebody thought it was
funny. That's hard to believe.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Soldiers isn't right. I mean, because it happened in San Diego, Soldier drove down there. He's sitting in the courtroom yesterday. But as Mike said, not so special operators, you know? So instead of having a small group, mature people, well supervised, right? As you had to grow that force, You know, you had to modify your standards that and allow people in that normally wouldn't get in. And then, but you know, what's disturbing is, you know, when somebody, an officer, learns about this stuff, you're supposed to do the right thing. You swear an oath to the Constitution that, you know, and allowing murder of a 15-year-old insurgent? Come on, man. That's so crazy. It's ridiculous. Email. The U.S. Naval Institute article said the two MARSOC Marines helped the SEALs hold the staff sergeant down while they choked him and tied him up.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see. I mean, I hope that's not. Let me just tell you, I think for all of our sake, I hope that neither one is true, but it's a disturbing trend that you see on a regular basis. To include drug use in terms of amphetamines and things like that. And they'll tell you, well, we need that. You know?
Right.
We need that. And, you know, I don't know. You know, 5-hour energy drink works. You don't have to take narcotics. And if you're that gassed and on your ass, then maybe you should put your hand up and maybe somebody should let you sit out a couple days. Just a thought.
Yeah, that just boggles my mind.
Yeah, it does. All right, man, what are you doing this weekend?
Not much. Hey, I came across these old manuals. Where are they at? Like this. Hey, check this out. Have you ever seen this one? Look at this. War Department. You know it's old, right?
Right.
What year do you think?
1943.
Look at it.
Tank Destroyer Pioneer Platoon.
And it's their man, 44.
Oh, shit! It was written in 43.
But it goes through, like, the whole...
I want to see a picture of it. Because wasn't it that kind of open cockpit with, like, a howitzer in it or some
not
shit?
Not the
like
tank
that?
Destroyer.
Yeah.
This is Pioneer.
But it's Tank Destroyer
these
Pioneer.
These are, like, engineers.
Oh, that's my grandfather was in World War One.
You know, look at it. They're still using the same graphics. Same reporting. But, you know, there's some really cool crap in here that's really like, you know, they show you different formations. it's just cool as hell. And I came across this stuff like.
Yeah, where'd you find those?
Oh, just, I have a ton of old stuff. Like,
I know, but
basic weapons. Howitzer Company.
Where did you find these manuals, though? Because obviously somebody turned them into PDFs. Where'd you find them?
I think I got them at the museum, and when I was in Quantico, I came across them all. There's Tank Destroyer, right there. But there's one in here that I was like, it's super old. The camouflage of fuel artillery. We had manuals for everything.
Yeah, and that's back in the day when we did it by the manual.
Coastal artillery.
Yeah, big guns, man. My grandfather enlisted so he comes from Ireland in 1914. He enlists at Fort Campbell or something like that. I can't remember the name of the fort, down in the Bay Area. So I looked it up, and it was on one of those islands, you know, where Tiburon is and Sausalito is, kind of. On the if you know San Francisco and you know where the Golden Gate Bridge is, on the non-San Francisco side of the Golden Gate Bridge are all these rich communities. It's where Robin Williams actually was, where he took his own life. Up there, Tiburon, Sausalito, right?
Yeah.
Dope smoking, beautiful places. Okay, so in the bay south of that area, right? If you were driving over the Bay Bridge to San Francisco, it would be off to your right. There was an army fort there, and they had all these coastal artillery battalions protecting San Francisco Bay back in the day. That would have been a pretty good place to be stationed.
Yeah, coastal artillery, that would have been.
Yeah, what are you?
That would have been cool. San Diego, like out in San Clemente Island?
Well, San Diego still has them. You can see Battery Point on Point Loma. I mean, they have these gigantic coastal batteries. And you see the turret and all the digging underground and all of that. Oh my God, man! They're huge, and there's one left. They're coastal artillery.
That you can still tour.
Yeah, the coastal artillery battalions, batteries. Very cool.
Look at that. But you had to be smart because there's a lot of math in these. In this book.
Yeah, but that was a smart guy. That would be you. You'd be like the genius. Oh, where's the genius? Or we'd have one guy who could run, right? He's the FTC guy.
One guy that would figure all of this out and then find a faster way of doing it.
Right, and that would be the genius. And then we would tease him, like, hey, where's genius? We need a working party.
As you guys are on a ship on the way to Guadalcanal, genius is sitting in a coastal battery unit.
Right.
In Sausalito, California.
See you later, boys. Good luck with all
good
that.
Good luck to you.
I'll be protecting not only the bay, but your girls, too.
Yeah.
I might have to lay my body over them to protect them. Boom! God damn that guy. Genius. I hate his ass.
We're going to have invasion drills. When I sound the alarm, they're going to come running to my place and live over the weekend.
Exactly. Because I don't want them to feel vulnerable when the Japanese attack San Francisco.
Right.
Yeah, so it's really selfless, boys. Good luck out there. They'll still be here when you come home. I guarantee that.
Anyway. Yeah, that's true. I was looking through that, and then I have 701 handgun manuals.
Yeah, well, that's because you probably have 740 handguns, so you're short about 30.
I have every handgun.
You're a gunner.
That you could possibly think of, and it's manual.
You're a gunner. Aren't you supposed to?
Yeah. Like, have you ever heard of this gun?
What is it? Zoom out, man. Let me see it.
This gun is a Model 54 Anschutz.
No, it's a Kraut gun. Of course not.
Well, it's a 22 target rifle. It's pretty old.
As you can tell by the manual. It's got all the basic things in it, though. I know that because I downloaded one from World War II about the M1 Garand and the care and keeping of it. I printed it out and have it. And they're cool as shit.
See how mine's alphabetical? Browning BL-22, Browning Boss, Browning BPR, Browning BPS, Browning BFS.
Browning. Browning BPS.
Let's get through Browning. Look at all my Brownings I got. Let's go through.
Then we got to go to
now we're on Colt. Dan Wesson. CZs. Dillon. EAA. Freedom Arms. FNs. Firestorms. High Point. I have every man you can think of.
So where do you find these?
Over time, I find them and then
find a library. You find a library and then steal it and then
right. And take it.
And collect it.
But I mean, it's proved invaluable to me.
I can imagine.
Like this, look at this old manual right here. I like these things. Like the squirrel on the front. Keystone Crickets, huh?
Look at that. That is hilarious. The
cricket. Remember a cricket 22?
No, of course not. Single shot rifle.
That was like the first rifle I ever shot was a cricket 22.
Where was it made?
Navy cricket.
Scroll up. It has a picture of a cricket.
So you can speak like this. The cricket.
Scroll down. Where is it made? Keystone Sporting Arms Incorporated. Suite 1, RD2, Box 20, Milton, Pennsylvania.
But listen, right here.
Hey, got an 800 number, though. It can't be that old.
Keystone Cricket says, or Davy Cricket says, your rifle is a precision-made instrument. Well, I don't know how crickets are talking. This is Davy Cricket. He's talking to us. So he's giving you all the, don't mix alcohol and drugs while shooting.
Yeah. Do not cock the rifle until you're sure of the target and are ready to fire. It's all quality stuff, man.
Davy's got a lot of rules, though, man.
Yeah, there is a lot of rules. That's a lot to remember. That is a lot to remember. All right, I'm done. I've got somebody calling me.
Who?
I got a phone call that I've got a cop on. I have to hop on. It's about podcasts, actually.
Oh.
And about the Marine Corps Association, stuff like that. Yeah. They've got I was talking to Chris Woodbridge. They've got some crazy stuff in their archives, audio stuff, like Chesty Puller talking about
We got to get it.
But, you know, what they have to do is it's in such fragile conditions that the first thing they have to do is they have to treat it so they can extract it. And some of that stuff isn't cheap. So So they're working on that now. So anyway, evidently the University of South Carolina has this incredible program for archivists, and they do stuff like this. So interesting stuff to me. Anyway, all right, man. Have a great weekend. Thank you for
all right. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you for a quality gun talk session.
Yeah, and so if you get questions afterwards, just send them to me, and we'll send them out.
All right, there you have it. Michael Musselman,
out.
Governor of the state of Texas on a Friday. How about that shit? That was awesome. That was actually an awesome gun talk. Sometimes gun talk isn't that good, right? It's always good, but that was a quality gun event. That'll do it on a Friday. I'm toying with the format for next week. I need some time off. And I don't take much of it off. So on a week that a lot of people aren't around, I thought maybe we would do all Battlefield Study Week. So I'll do the first hour. Battlefield Study the other days. That's what I'm thinking. I'll make a decision over the weekend and let you know on Monday. Because I got stuff I got to get done. I got to like do the card for post traumatic winning. Blah 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 blah. Yeah, it's a lot. Trust me, it's not easy to be me. If you missed the cooking segment today with the chef, I would encourage you to listen to it. There's all kind of great stuff in there, from Thanksgiving timeline to his pointers for Wondra or flour and gravy, use of crock pots at Thanksgiving so that you can have stuff that you've already prepared, slow cooking in a crock pot. It doesn't take up surface space on your stove. Yeah. All the things that count, right? So anyway, give that a listen. You'll hear that. And then you'll hear a really, really high-quality version of Gun Talk today. Who knew? I will tell you this. It helps that when he shares his screen with me. Because then we're looking at the same thing. Yeah. Conquering technology. 1 year at a time. I need to get the chef on Skype so you can hear his voice better. In fact, I'm going to call him right now. I'll wait for my phone call. So have a great day. Read you an email. So listening to you guys talk, I went and read the latest from USNI, and I also read Paul Soldier's article. That is some extremely disturbing shit. If those acts are in any way, shape, or form indicative of the culture that our special operations community has evolved into, God help them. Both those stories will absolutely turn your stomach. Have a great day. Yeah, that stuff it sucks, man. I'm not gonna lie to you. Those stories are brutal, and I don't even know what to say. So anyway, have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday morning. On a Friday, All Marine Radio over and out.